Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely.
This time we're tackling an inspector calls,
All right.
but with a bit of a twist.
Okay.
We're going to zoom in, really get under the skin of Mrs. Burling,
Sounds good.
because she's a bit of a puzzle, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, she can be a real head scratcher.
So let's start right at the beginning.
Okay.
First impressions, you know.
Right from the get-go.
Straight away, Priestley gives us that stage direction.
Yeah.
Mrs. Burling is a rather cold woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that might not seem like much,
It's subtle.
but think about it, in 1912, that's pretty unusual for a woman.
Especially an upper class woman.
Exactly, to
Yeah.
be described like that.
It's a clever move by Priestley.
You think so?
Oh, definitely. He's signaling to us right away
Yeah.
that she's not your typical kind of character.
Not all warm and fuzzy.
No, not at all. There's something harder there,
Yeah.
more unyielding about Mrs. Burling.
She's different.
And don't forget those stage directions, they're like little clues from Priestley himself. Oh, right, like he's giving us a little wink.
Exactly. He's giving you insight into how to read her character.
So it's not just what she says.
It's the whole package, how she's presented on stage, too.
That coldness really sets her apart.
It hints at her attitude, too,
Yes, you know, chord.
towards those she sees as beneath her.
Oh, I see, like how she treats Eva Smith.
Exactly. She's so dismissive,
Even Mom
cruel.
is like that coldness goes beyond just her personality.
Yeah, it seeps into her whole worldview.
A bit like she's built a wall around herself,
That's a good way to put it.
made of her social status and her,
And her rigid beliefs, yeah.
And that brings us to another interesting thing about her.
What's that?
Her view of marriage.
Ah.
It's clear she sees it more as a kind of social contract.
More than a genuine partnership?
Right, like remember how she brushes off Gerald's affair?
Oh, yeah, almost like she expects it.
She even hints that Mr. Burling might have had his own,
His own indiscretions.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where things get really interesting.
How so? Think about the historical context.
Okay.
At the time, affairs amongst the upper classes.
It wasn't uncommon, was it?
No, it was often seen as a way for men to exert their power.
Really?
Women were expected to just accept it.
Turn a blind eye.
Exactly.
So Mrs. Burling accepting Gerald's affair.
It's not just about her being cold.
It's more about reflecting the norms of the time.
She's a product of her environment.
Right. Priestley's using her to show the cracks in this perfect upper-class society.
Yeah, on the surface, everything looks respectable.
But underneath.
Underneath, there's this hypocrisy bubbling away.
Oh, and don't even get me started on how she treats Sheila.
Oh, tell me about it.
Remember how she dismisses Sheila's worries about Gerald? Basically tells her to just get over it.
Because that's how men are.
It's just
It's
so.
patriarchal.
Yeah, exactly.
Mrs. Burling's the embodiment of this belief.
That a woman's role is to be subservient.
Not to question the men in her life.
And it's interesting how she uses the word hysteria.
To shut down Sheila's outbursts.
Like she's trying to invalidate her daughter's feelings.
That's a word you'll want to pay attention to for your GCSEs, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was often used to dismiss women who challenged the status quo.
Especially those involved in the suffrage movement.
Exactly, by calling Sheila hysterical. Mrs. Burling's trying to silence her.
Put her back in her place.
So she's not just a character,
She's a symbol of something bigger.
a symbol of the forces working against social progress.
And this ties in with her opposition to women's suffrage.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Someone like Mrs. Burling, with her wealth and position,
She's a lot to lose.
if women gained more power,
The idea of women voting, having a say,
that would threaten her whole world.
makes you wonder if her coldness is a kind of defense mechanism.
Maybe she's terrified of losing everything.
Is she truly heartless or just scared?
That's a question worth thinking about.
It's like there's more to her than meets the eye.
Characters are complex.
Always more going on beneath the surface.
And speaking of complexity, there's this fascinating contrast
Between.
between Mrs. Burling and Sheila.
Yeah, her own daughter.
It's one of the things that makes this play so interesting. Yeah, you've got Mrs. Burling stuck in her ways, and then Sheila, who's willing to learn and grow.
It's like they represent two different generations.
Totally. Priestley's using them to explore the potential for
I
change.
think so.
Yeah. Sheila's journey, her willingness to accept responsibility that offers a glimmer of hope.
Like society can evolve and become more just. But
Exactly.
Sheila's transformation, it's really driven by the inspector, isn't it?
Absolutely. He acts as a catalyst in the way each character responds to him. That's crucial.
It's like a test of their moral compass.
Right. Sheila embraces the inspector's message of social responsibility,
whilst Mrs. Burling rejects it completely.
It's like their responses are symbolic, you know?
In what way?
Sheila embodies the ideal reaction, the one Priestley wants the audience to have.
But Mrs. Burling represents the resistance to change.
The thing he's trying to critique.
That's a really good point. Actually, something to think about for your GCSEs.
Definitely look for those moments where Sheila and Mrs. Burling clash.
Especially in their interactions with the inspector.
Those contrasting responses, they reveal so much about their characters.
And the themes of the play.
And of course, let's not forget how Mrs. Burling treats Eva Smith.
The language she uses is just awful.
It's more than awful, it's calculated.
What do you mean?
Remember, Priestley chose his words carefully.
Right.
So when you're analyzing Mrs. Burling, pay attention to her language, especially when she talks about Eva.
It's like she doesn't see her as a real person.
Exactly. It reveals so much about her prejudices.
Like when she calls Eva a girl of that class.
It's dehumanizing, isn't it?
She's not even acknowledging Eva as an individual.
It's like she lumps all working class women together.
As if they're all the same.
And inferior to her, of course.
Because she's better than them.
That's the key for your analysis.
Go on.
Mrs. Burling represents this whole section of society who benefited from exploiting the working class.
She's blind to their struggles.
Because it's easier to maintain her privilege that way.
If she doesn't have to face the reality.
And the irony is she's a member of a charity organization.
You'd think she'd be more compassionate.
It's all about maintaining appearances, isn't it?
Keeping up the facade.
That's the hypocrisy Priestley's exposing.
So her refusal to help Eva?
It becomes even more significant.
You really need to look closely at her language there.
When she explains her decision.
What about it?
She talks about Eva's request as gross impertinence.
That's a strong word.
It is. She sees Eva simply asking for help as a challenge to her authority.
Like, people like Eva shouldn't even dare to ask.
And it gets even darker when you think about Eric's involvement.
With Eva.
Mrs. Burling's reaction is chilling.
She's more worried about her family's reputation
than her own son.
It's like she'd rather sacrifice Eric.
His safe face.
And she tries to shift the blame.
First to Eva, then to the father of the child.
She's desperate to protect this image of respectability.
Even if it means denying reality.
Which brings us back to her hypocrisy.
She judges Eva, but her own family.
Is caught up in something far worse.
Priestley's shattering this image of the perfect Burling family.
Showing us the rot beneath the surface.
And Mrs. Burling embodies that rot.
She just can't admit to any wrongdoing.
It's like she's incapable of self-reflection.
Why do you think that is?
Her pride, I think it blinds her to the truth.
She's so convinced she's right.
That she can't see the flaws in her logic.
Or the consequences of her actions. She's almost a tragic figure in a way.
There's an element of that.
Priestley doesn't make her out to be a villain.
No, he shows us glimpses of her vulnerability.
Or her fear.
But ultimately, she can't change.
She can't learn from her mistakes.
And that's what makes her so frustrating.
So tragic.
It's like a cautionary tale.
A warning about what happens when we cling to our prejudices.
And refuse to see the humanity in others.
That's a really insightful way to look at it.
It leads us to another crucial question, actually.
So if Mrs. Burling represents this, like, rigid part of society, what does that say about the world Priestley wanted to see?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's not giving us all the answers, but he wants us to think.
Critically.
Yeah, to challenge those prejudices we all have.
To see the humanity in everyone.
No matter their background.
It's like he's holding up this mirror.
Showing us what we're really like.
The consequences of our actions.
And in Mrs. Burling, we see the danger of holding on to those old beliefs.
Of refusing to see how we contribute to injustice.
And remember, this was written after two world wars.
Right.
Priestley had seen firsthand the effects of division.
Inequality.
He wanted to wake people up.
To make them realize things had to change.
So when you're analyzing Mrs. Burling, think about what she stands for.
Not just her as a person.
The social forces she embodies.
Look at how she interacts with other characters.
Especially Sheila and the inspector.
How do those interactions show the clash between old and new ways of thinking?
And don't forget those stage directions.
They can be so helpful.
They're like Priestley whispering in your ear.
Giving us extra clues.
That description of her as a cold woman.
It tells us so much.
It's not just about her personality.
It's her whole outlook on life.
That emotional detachment.
Those stage directions are like bonus points for your GCSE analysis.
Use them to understand what Priestley's really trying to say.
This deep dive has been amazing.
Glad you enjoyed it.
I feel like I understand Mrs. Burling so much better now.
That's what we aim for.
Peeling back those layers, uncovering new meanings.
The more we understand her, the more we understand the play's message.
About social responsibility and the need for change.
She might be a frustrating character.
But she's essential to the story.
She forces us to confront some uncomfortable truths.
About ourselves and the world.
That's the power of great literature, isn't it?
It challenges us to think differently.
To question our assumptions.
And to ultimately become better, more informed people.
And on that note, we'll leave you with one final thought. If Priestley were writing an Inspector Calls today, who would Mrs. Burling be?
Who in our society would represent that resistance to change?
That same blindness to injustice.
That's a really interesting question to think about.
Maybe it'll spark your own deep dive into the world around you.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another deep dive.